your scripture. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Glory to God. And did you know God gets glory when you live by faith? Faith makes God real. In other words, if we're not seeing through the eyes of faith, we're not really seeing God in His fullness. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about that. Is there anything too hard for God? How many knows there's nothing too hard for God? God can do anything. He's a mighty big God, and there's nothing too hard for Him. And see, the problem is, in our minds, we limit God because we see God like He's man. You know, we think, well, God, you know, I got cancer, and you know what the doctors say when you get cancer. So we look at God like He's human. But how many knows God is not human? He's supernatural. He created the universe. He created man from the dust of the ground. He created the stars and the heavens. All the things that He's done, all the wonderful works of God He's created in this world. But then when it comes to us, a lot of times we start looking at Him like He's a man. How many knows man don't do that? Man don't create the universe. Man don't do all these kind of things. God does those things. God knows the future from the very beginning. How many knows He knew you were going to be here 10 million years ago? He knew what was going to happen in our life. But tonight I want you to see that there's nothing too hard for God, and God wants to do more through us than we could ever even imagine. The Bible said He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now think about that. He said He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. But then in our mind we get to thinking sometimes that He don't want to do it. Or that he can, but He won't. You know, He don't really want to. He don't want to do. But I want to tell you something. God wants to do great things in the earth today. Not only that, but God wants to do great things through you and through me. And the problem is sometimes we can believe God can do great things in heaven, but it's hard for us to believe He can do great things through us because we're human. But the Bible said, there's a scripture in Zechariah that said, in that day, the feeblest among them shall be as David, and he that is as David shall be as God. Why? He's talking about the last days, and this is the days that we live in. We're living in the last days. That means that scripture is going to come to pass. It means, now just think about that. He said, the feeblest among you shall be as David, and he that is as David shall be as God. That means that God, there's a long way that God is, that God's wanting to take us to. Glory to God. Look with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It didn't say some things, it said all things. You know, if we can ever get to living in the place where all things are possible, you know what that does? It does away with depression. It does away with fear. It does away with torment and all this stuff, because when you get in that place to where all things are possible, you're not worried about nothing. But you know what? It's based upon our relationship with God. Because see, if we're not secure, if we don't really know that we're saved, if we don't really have a found foundation in our heart that we know that we know that we know that we're right with God. If the devil can lie to you some way and make you doubt your walk with God and make you doubt your righteousness, if he can make you doubt your identity, who you really are, then he can shake your faith. Because your faith in God and your walk with God is based upon you believing the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus died so that you could have life more abundantly. It said the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And I was thinking about that scripture today, and I was thinking about how the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you know what? The devil wants to destroy your walk with God. He wants to destroy everything that's got to do. He wants to destroy your identity. He wants to destroy your ability to influence people. He wants to destroy your love for people. He wants to destroy your health. But you know what? It's not that the devil just don't like you. It's that he wants to destroy anything, any possibility that you might walk with God. Because he knows that if you ever walk with God in the fullness of God, one man can turn his whole world upside down. If you walk in the fullness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so he can't afford it. He hates everybody that's a child of God. And so when you become a Christian, he sets out to destroy your credibility. He sets out, and then when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he tells everybody you're crazy. He's one of them crazy people. He speaks in tongues. He tries to destroy credibility. You can see it in politics, how that when somebody's running for office or whatever, they try to destroy the other person. They try to destroy their credibility. The devil looks for weakness in us. Wherever he finds weakness at is where he's going to set up at. You look at somebody that's a drug addict, they start trying to serve God, guess what? The devil's going to hit them right in where the drugs is at. If they're an alcoholic, he hits them on drugs. I mean alcohol. If they're a prostitute or whatever, he's going to hit them in that area. Wherever you are weak at in your walk with God, that's where the devil's going to come at you at. He's going to try to pull you down or destroy you. But the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because, see, the enemy can't destroy you if you are abiding in Christ. If you're abiding in his life and not letting him... see, how many knows that he said no weapon formed against you would prosper? And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Glory to God. That means, see, the devil's going to... The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, and he's accusing us before God day and night, the Bible says. But you know what? He's also accusing you to yourself. He said, who do you think you are? You can't pray to God. God can't use you. And then some people will even voice it themselves. They say, God can't use them. You know how they are. You know, God can't use that person over there because they messed up or they done this 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. See, that's the accuser of the brethren. See, what we got to realize, our foundation with God has got to be secure. We can't have anything shaking it, because whatever shakes your foundation shakes your faith toward God and that God can work through us. But when we can believe that he wants to work through us, and if we can stand firm in our faith in God, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, it brings joy to you when you know that no matter what you're facing in life, that God is going to be with you. He's going to not just be with you, but he wants to help you through it. He wants to give you a word. He wants to show you a direction to go. He wants to tell you how to deal with it. Did you know when Jesus was here in this world, everything he did, when he dealt with problems, he dealt with them God's way. When he'd come to a funeral and somebody would be dead, he'd just go over and raise them from the dead. Whenever they was out there preaching to 5,000 people and there was no food for anybody, he said, what we got? What do we got? Here's a little boy's got three fishes and some bread, whatever. And he said, bring it to me. And he multiplied the bread. And in every situation, no matter what it was, he made a way in that situation. Because he did it God's way. And so that means that whatever we face in this life, when you come up to something, see, fear gets hold of us sometimes. And we look ahead to the future and we say, oh my God, look at what's coming this way, the coronavirus. Look what's coming this way. Fear, death, cancer, this or that. You know, all these different things start trying to bombard you. And you start looking at it, and fear gets hold of your heart. But see, when you know that the God of this universe has already looked into the future, He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So that I don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. All I've got to do is stay in my walk with God and don't let anything move me off my faith in Him. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Bible says that all the things that happened to them were an example to us to whom the ends of the ages have come. All the things, when the children of Israel was in Egypt, you know, when Moses went in to deliver them out, and then when they came out into the wilderness, in the desert, it was a type of end times, the Bible says. And there's some lessons that we can learn from that. See, there's some things that you can look at the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, and we can learn something from it, because that's what history is for, so that you can look back and see something and learn from the past mistakes. And see, the children of Israel, one of the things that you can realize, the first thing is no matter how bad in bondage you are, God can get you out. They had been in bondage with Egypt for 400 years. You might have some problem in your life you think you can't ever overcome. I want to tell you something. There is no problem too big for God. I had a friend of mine. He was a heroin addict. He'd been shooting up heroin. He told me he was shooting $100 a day in heroin. And God saved him in a teen challenge program. Next day he woke up, didn't even want no heroin. The whole day he didn't want no heroin. Then a couple days went by, he didn't even have no desire for no heroin. And he's walking down the street, and a guy pulls up beside him and said, "Hey man, here's you some heroin." And he said, "I didn't even want it, but," he said, "I took it." And he said, "When I did, I went to get off of it the next time," and he said, "it wasn't that easy." That's when he had to go into the teen challenge program. But the point of it was, he said, "I had been shooting up every day." And he said, "I couldn't make it. When I woke up, I had to have a needle in my arm." But he said, "For 3 days after I got saved, I had no desire for heroin." Why? Because it don't matter what kind of problem you're in, God can get you out. If it's drugs, it's alcohol. Not only that, I mean, I've seen people that had problems with, you know, things they done in the flesh and got put in jail and got out of jail when they turned to God, and God just turned things around. I remember I was up at the jail one day, and I was talking to three boys that had been in there. They'd been in there for a year, and I said, "When are y'all getting out?" And they said, "We ain't got a clue. Don't know when we're getting out." I said, and something just hit me. I said, "Come here, boys." I said, "We're going to pray right now for y'all to get out of this jail." So they come up there at the bars, and I grabbed them by the hands, and I prayed for them, and I said, "Lord, get these boys out of here." I come back the next week. Two of those boys had got out that week. They'd been in there for like 2 years or so. And the third one was still in there. He said, "I go home tonight." Praise God. But see, God got them out of there. God can get you out of any situation. But the children of Israel, God brought them out of Egypt. But one of the things that we see in this too was that whenever Moses went in, Pharaoh said, "Look, these people, they got too much free time. Let's send the taskmasters out there and let's take away their straw and make them have to go out and get their own straw. And they won't have time to be praying and worshiping God. So they're going to have to keep making these bricks, and they're going to have to go get their own straw." And so he did that. And see, that's another lesson for us. The devil will try to give us tasks. He'll try to keep us so busy that we can't serve God. He'll try to keep us all wrapped up and tied up in everything that our mind and our thoughts and stuff can't even be on God. And so we have to realize that the devil will help you find something to do. He'll help you. You can have a clear mind and be free, and all at once he'll put a thought in your mind and say, "You need to do this." And first thing you know, you're doing something you done forgot about God. But then whenever they went into the wilderness, they saw giants in the land. When they came out of Egypt, God rolled back the Red Sea. He was showing them how big he was. First, he delivered them out of Egypt, brought them out in the wilderness, rolled back the Red Sea, took them across on dry ground, And yet they still murmured and complained. They still couldn't see how big God was. See, and that's a lesson for us today, too, that even when God is doing great things, if we're not careful, we can use our natural senses and start looking around and saying, where's God? God's left me. God's not answering my prayers. God's not doing nothing for me. But the Bible said that they died in the wilderness because they did not believe the report. When they went in and spied out the land, there was 10 spies went in and spied out the land, and they came back and they said, there's giants over there. We can't possess this land. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able, let us go in and possess it right now. They had a different spirit, the Bible said. Now see, this is what I want you to see. Faith caused them to see it the right way. Doubt and unbelief made them see it the wrong way. Even though the wrong way looked like it was real. Now think about it. They were looking, they wouldn't seeing a mirage, they were seeing real giants. They saw real giants over there. They were big people. It's where Goliath had came from. They were seeing it with their natural eyes, but Joshua and Caleb saw something better. He said, they're food for us to eat. Let's go in, we can possess it right now. See, they had to be seeing something different than what everybody else was seeing. They had to be living in a place to where that all things were possible to them. See, that's how you can always tell when somebody's really living by faith, because they get in a place where that they don't doubt nothing. They start believing that God can do anything. They start expecting God to do something. When you see somebody walking in faith, they start talking different. They got an optimistic viewpoint. They're not pessimistic. They're not negative. They're not doubtful. They're not murmuring and complaining. They're excited. They're believing God's going to do something great. Why? Because they're seeing things the way it really is. Joshua was in battle just to show you how big his God was to him. It started getting dark on him. He said, sun, stand still in the valley of Ajar, or something like that. And this Bible said the sun stood still for the biggest part of that day until they got through that battle. Now think about it. He didn't realize what a big thing that was for the sun to stop. He didn't realize that the whole universe was circulating and everything was moving in its proper time and everything was going. It wasn't like a little glitch. I could just see God in heaven saying, wow, man, look at that man's faith. He's wanting me to stop the sun. And then he said, sun, stand still. And the sun stopped. And you know what? Scientists have proven that the sun actually stood still. But they didn't know what it was. But when they was doing the NASA things to go to the moon and all that stuff like that, they got to the heavens are so in sequence and so perfect that they can tell where the moon was a million years ago almost, or a thousand years ago. And when they got to adding all this stuff up, somehow or another they came up a day or two short. Things wasn't adding up. They couldn't figure out what it was. And then they went and looked, and they seen in there where Joshua, when the sun stood still. And it was so many hours that it stood still in that one spot. And then it was another time when the sun went back a degree for, I believe it was, one of the kings, I forgot his name now, but anyways, they got to looking though, science actually proved that the sun, that the time, they'd lost some time. And it was in the Bible. But the thing of it was, Joshua realized that God was a big enough God, he could stop the sun. He could stop the sun and make it stop and make the moon stop and stay right where they're at. You just stay right there till we get done, then you can move on. But what I want you to see tonight is that if we can lift our limitations off of God, because the Bible said that they limited the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel limited God. When they were in the wilderness, they limited God. They said, how can God give us bread in this desert place? They limited, and they said, we can't go in and possess the land. There's giants over there. They limited God. See, when you limit, whatever you limit God to, that's what he's limited to for you. But you know what? Somebody else can be over here and they can say, God can do anything. God says, okay, I can do anything for them, but you can't do anything for this one over here because they got limits on it. They set some limits. They said, you can only do this, Lord. You can heal through a doctor. You know, if I go to a doctor, that's the only way you can do it, Lord. And somebody else says, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Cancer ain't got no limit. There's no limits to God for the cancer. You know what? There's no limits for you. But if you limit God, and this is what God is wanting us to realize, is that we can limit the Holy One of Israel. You say, yeah, but He is God. He can do what He wants to do. He can, but you know what? He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through me. But He can't do it through us if we limit Him. So that means that we have to take the limits off of God, and that also means we need to know how big He really is. It means we need to realize, we need to think thoughts, we need to read scriptures when we see things that tells us how big God really is. You know, when you think about a God that knows everything that's going to happen in the future, and it tells us in the book of Revelation everything that's going to happen all the way up to the end. He's got to be a mighty big God. That should give us confidence and boldness to know that God, because just think, if we thought that God only knew what was going to happen today, but He didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow, then we'd be always scared to death something's bad going to happen. But see, when we know He knows tomorrow, even if something bad comes, He's already made a way for me. If He knows something comes tomorrow, He's already going to make a way so you can get through it. He'll make a way. Brother Scotty, He made a way for you. When you had to go through the hospital and go through all that stuff, He made a way. He paid the bill. He paid the bill. It was took care of. Why? Because you believed that He was a God more than enough. He's El Shaddai. That word El Shaddai means more than enough. He's able to do more than enough. But if we think He can only do enough, just barely enough, then that's all He can do for us. Glory to God. But we limit God because we see Him like we're limited. See, we got to get this out of our mind that He's not like us. He's bigger than us. He's stronger than us. He's mightier than us. They murmured and complained, and the Bible said they were bitten by serpents in the wilderness. See, wherever we are doing some of the things they were doing back then, it gives the devil a place to bite you. See, the serpent in the wilderness, when they were being bitten by the serpents because they were murmuring and complaining, that's representing demonic things. Serpents represent demons. And that means when you murmur and complain against God, against the preacher, your pastor, if you're murmuring and complaining, the devil finds a place to get into your life. See, he's looking for some place to come in at. He's looking for a weakness. And when he finds it, he's going to bite you. But the good thing is, if he bites you, you're still not over. You're not out yet. Because, you know, when they got bit in the wilderness, he said people begin to die. And God told Moses, he said, make a brazen serpent and raise it up on the pole. And he said, whoever looks at that serpent on the pole, he said, they will be healed. And so He raised the serpent up on the pole, and that serpent on the pole was the type of Jesus dying on the cross. And whenever they began to look at that serpent on the pole, even though they had brought it on themselves, even though they were murmuring and complaining, and then they began to be bitten by serpents, when they still turned and looked to God, He had mercy on them and healed them. So even if you've murmured and complained, even if you've done things that's opened up a door for the devil to bite you, demons to get in your life, lift up your eyes to God, and He can heal you from that situation wherever you're at. Because He's a mighty big God. And He's a merciful God. The Bible said they turned back into Egypt in their heart. When this was another lesson for us. He brought them out of Egypt, but while they were in the wilderness, the Bible said in their heart they turned back. They were still out there. They were, you know, it's possible to be in church and your heart be somewhere else. It's possible to be in church and still looking back. But he said they turned back in their heart. See, the devil wants to destroy your vision. See, I said at the beginning that there's a lot of things he wants to destroy. One of the things he wants to destroy is your vision of the future. If he can destroy your vision of you seeing yourself walking with God and seeing yourself doing mighty exploits in His name, if he can destroy the vision of whatever it is that you desire in the future that you see this good, if he can destroy that vision, you lose your momentum. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. But the devil loves to destroy your hope of the future. He loves, because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have no hope that you're ever going to change, how many has ever seen somebody that never would change? They kept saying it was going to change and they never changed. They just kept doing the same thing, and after a while, you lose your hope that they're ever going to change, because they just keep doing it. Well, when you lose your hope, you lose your joy. You lose your expectation that things are going to be different. And see, when you first get saved and you're walking with God, we have to have an expectation that I'm going to be more like Jesus tomorrow. When I walk with God, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when I get bit by a mosquito, it flies away singing out, "There's power in the blood." You know, you want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when you walk into a room that people can just get under conviction and want to get saved just from being around you. You want to be so full of the Holy Ghost when you can't go to a funeral without somebody being raised from the dead. You know, you don't want to, I mean, look at Peter. Peter walked on the water. He raised people from the dead. And the Bible said, Jesus said, "The works that I do shall ye do, and greater works than these shall ye do." But you know what? This hour we're living in, it seems like the church, instead of the church getting more powerful in God, the church seems to be getting watered down. It seems like that people are not preaching and going out and doing the great exploits like they used to. It's like you know why? It's because the enemy is trying to destroy the church. He's trying to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. He don't want the church to be like God, and he's been working against the church all these years, trying to destroy pastors, trying to destroy people, finding weakness in people's lives so he can exploit it, so he can destroy it. But see, we don't need to help the devil. We don't need to help the devil. We don't need to be accusers of the brethren. We don't need to be judges and judging people and pointing fingers at this one or that one. We need to be people that says, "Hey, if there's a spark of life in it, I'm going to get down there and blow on it until it comes back to life again." The Bible said that John the Baptist was one that wouldn't even quench a flicker. If there was just a flicker of life in something, he wouldn't quench it. God wants us to be like that, so that when we see life in somebody, we don't need to see death. If we see somebody that's, just about to die spiritually, we need to start blowing life, trying to get that life to going again, instead of saying, "Look at all that sin in their life." But see, because one of the ways the devil tries to destroy people is through sin. But see, if he can get you to sinning, then he's going to condemn you. He's going to point his finger at you and say, you know, you've sinned, you've done wrong. And then you lose your feeling of righteousness. You don't feel that stability that you had before. And then condemnation comes, and he wants to point a finger at you to condemn you. So the reason he tries to get people to sin is because he wants to have a ground in your life. It's kind of like being a politician and getting a bribe. Once a politician takes a bribe from somebody, he owes them. You know, when you start sinning, it's like the enemy says, "I got a place in them." That's the reason these countries and people like to give money to presidents and different ones or somebody. They want to bribe somebody because they want to have something on them. And see, the devil, if he can find sin in your life, he's going to put his finger on it, and he's going to try to use that against you. But the good thing is, Jesus came to do away with sin. He came to forgive you of your sin. He came to bring you out of sin. Just like they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He wants to bring you out of sin. He wants to bring you out of a place where the devil can't accuse you anymore. Glory to God. When Korah was accusing Moses, the Bible said they rebelled against Moses in the wilderness. And how many knows the ground opened up and swallowed Korah? But before it did, Korah had already infected so many people that there was thousands of people that died that swallowed the ground up because of Korah. And the Bible said the next day after that, the ground had opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his company, because Moses said, you know, if you're on my side, stand over here. If you're on Korah's side, stand over there. And they got on that side, and the ground opened up and swallowed them. And I mean, you think about what kind of terror that would have been like to see that happen right in front of your eyes. You'd think I'd teach somebody a lesson, wouldn't you? But you know what? The next day, there was 200,000 people died because of rebellion again. I thought, these people are nuts. I mean, if I sat there and seen the ground open up, swallowed my enemies, swallow the people up because they were rebelling against Moses, I don't think I would have been saying nothing against Moses anymore after that. But see, they didn't learn a lesson. And see, that's the way sin is, and rebellion is like that sometimes. The things can be destroying your life, and you still go back to it. I had a friend of mine one time, and he had a problem with drinking. And he'd get serving God, and he'd be doing good, preaching and everything. And right when he was doing so good, he'd just get dog drunk and lay up drunk for a week or two. And one day I was praying for this man, and I saw a vision. And I saw him walking down this path toward God. And when he was walking down that path, he was happy and just going down the road, walking towards God, walking up this pathway. And right in his pathway, there was a demon sitting in a chair. And he had his legs crossed, and he had his finger pointing like that. And when he was walking up that path, all at once he just turned and went back out that way like that. And I knew immediately that that's when he turned back to alcohol. It was like every time that he would get to that point, because, see, alcohol was a weakness in his life. Wherever your weaknesses are at, I guarantee you that's where the devil's going to come out against you. Wherever you're weak at, he's looking for the weakness. But the thing of it is, we have to be strengthened by the power of God. That wherever, when I first got saved, I read a scripture that said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're dead and your life is hid in Christ. And at that time, I was dealing with something in my life, and I just had gotten saved, and I was thinking, God, I ain't never going to be able to overcome this sin. And when I was sitting in church that night, I was reading that scripture, and all at once I said, it's over with. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. I said, it's over with. I don't have that problem anymore. And you know what? I did. It was gone. Immediately, as soon as I believed the word of God, but see, it didn't happen until I believed it. And see, when you start believing that God can do anything, that when you start expecting God to do anything and looking for it, the Bible said that Abraham was 100 years old whenever he believed the promise of God and Sarah conceived seed. The Bible said that he considered not his body now dead to sin, but he said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And you know what I realized about that means that he was magnifying God. When he was believing God, it gave glory to God. And really, I think what that means is it magnified God. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, oh, magnify the Lord. And that, you know, if you magnify something, that means you take a magnifying glass and put something over it and make it bigger. When you start magnifying God, the things of this world will get smaller. But when you start looking at God like he's a man, this world will get so big to you that it'll overwhelm you. I remember one time I was in a depressed state or something. I kept dealing with some problems and things. And I was sitting in my car one day, and I was just feeling depressed. And all at once, the Spirit of God came over me, and he said, magnify the Lord. And when he said that, I saw a big magnifying glass, and I saw myself just putting that magnifying glass over God. And Lord, I just said, Lord, I magnify you right now. I glorify you. And when I started doing that, all at once that depression just left immediately. It just left immediately because I started magnifying God. See, right now we're living in a time there's going to be a lot of depressed people in this world because there's some bad things coming down the road. I mean, we're entering into some end time stuff that's coming real quickly. And there's, the Bible said in the last days that there'd be people that would want to die, but for the fear of the things they see coming. Haven't they? And so, if we're not living in God, there's things that's going to be scary. And it can make you depressed. But you know what? If you're walking with God and you're saying, all things are possible, God's got this. You know, even when the plagues were in Egypt, the Bible said that there wasn't no plague in Israel. Said the children of Israel, that the cows died over here, they didn't die over here. The firstborn died over here, but they didn't die, those that were in that blood, under the blood. But God is a big God, and he can do anything if we only believe. There's scripture that says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody to show himself strong through, whose heart is perfect toward him, or whose heart is set on God. Glory to God. He's looking for somebody to show himself strong through. I want to say, Lord, pick me. Pick me, Lord. Show yourself strong through me. And you know what he says? He said, I was waiting for you to ask me. I was looking for somebody. I was hoping you'd raise your hand. You know, I was hoping you'd be one and volunteer to let me use you. But but I'm telling you, it may sound crazy, but it's the truth. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these because I go to the Father. I want to just read some things to you real quickly. These are some things God can do. He created the heavens and the earth. He created man from the dust of the ground in his own image. He created the sun and the moon and the stars. Has the ability to see and know the future. Caused the sun to stand still for Joshua. Brought 6 million Jews out of Egypt and fed them in the wilderness. Caused the walls of Jericho to fall as Joshua marched around them. Caused the Red Sea to roll back. Destroyed Pharaoh's army. Kept 3 Hebrew boys in a burning fiery furnace. Caused the lions not to eat Daniel. Caused David to slay a lion and a bear and Goliath. Elijah called fire down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Caused the widow woman's oil to not run dry for 3.5 years. Jesus fed the multitude in the wilderness. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead for 4 days. Peter walked on the water. Jesus healed the sick, cast out devils, and raised the dead, and his disciples did the same thing. And you know what? He's the same God today as he was back then. There's nothing too hard for God. Glory to God. But just remember, the enemy's purpose is to stop you from believing, to stop you from continuing on in faith. Because, see, he has to stop you from being in faith. Because if he don't stop you, God's going to do something great in your life. So his number one purpose is to get you out of faith, to distract you from problems and cares. I mean, to distract you with problems and cares. He's going to try to cause problems to get your mind on them and get them off God. To corrupt you with sin and temptation so your faith is watered down. To cause you to limit God's ability in you. To stop you from praying in faith and seeing how big God is. To destroy your relationship with God any way possible. To destroy your testimony so that no one will listen to you. To destroy your integrity by corruption. Destroy your health. Destroy your faith and polluted and deluded. Destroy your true identity so you don't know who you really are. Destroy your image, your vision for the future so you won't have nothing to press towards. This is what his purpose is. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.